Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say,
my God is awesome.
Come on, if you know he's awesome, say,
my God.
Come on and lift your voice.
My God.
Awesome.
Awesome.
My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it, say,
awesome.
Come on and say it. Think about it, Savior of the whole world,
giver of salvation,
by his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify, you know he's awesome, say it. Come on and lift your voice and sing.
Awesome. Awesome.
Come on and say awesome.
Awesome.
My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on and say awesome.
Awesome.
Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice.
Awesome. Awesome.
Come on, somebody.
God we serve. This is Evangelist Kim Henderson of Setting the Captives Free. Did you all hear that awesome song? Well, you serve an awesome God. Yes, you do. Hallelujah. It is an honor and it is a privilege to be able to come on the air on tonight. Hallelujah. To rejoice and give God all the glory and all the honor. Have an awesome special guest on tonight. So you all get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Call up a neighbor. Call up a friend. Text them. Facebook them. Tweet them. Instagram. Whatever you need to do, let them know that Setting the Captives Free is on the air on tonight. Yes, indeed. And you know what? If no one's told you on tonight that they love you, I love you, and God loves you more. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Woo, we just thank God for his awesome goodness, his mercy, his love towards us. Hallelujah. My special guest on tonight, I have, Pastor Pamela. Yes, I do. And Pastor Pamela, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You all get ready because I'm telling you, tonight's show is going to be a show of revelation and understanding. Yes, it is. Hallelujah. I also have the senior pastor, Pastor Pamela's husband. Yes, they're all the way from Las Vegas, Nevada. Hallelujah. Senior pastor and overseer, Pastor Walter L. Poston. We're going to be hearing from him. He's going to be taking us in prayer for tonight's show. Yes, he is. And then we'll come back, and I'll just tell you a little bit about Pastor Pamela, and then I'll let her awesome husband introduce her. Pastor, are you there to take us in prayer?
Yes, I am.
It's all yours.
Eternal God, we thank you for your goodness and kindness. Lord, thank you for your tender mercies. We bless you for this wonderful opportunity to speak into the lives of your people. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we pray that your blessing will be upon this interview and this broadcast on tonight. Thank you for this open door of opportunities. Oh, God, but most of all, thank you for the souls that are delivered, that are going to be delivered on tonight. We pray for their salvation in the name of Jesus, and we give your name the glory in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name, because you know what? There is power and there's authority in that awesome name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you all want to call in on tonight, because I'm pretty sure you're going to have some comments, some questions, just call in, or you might even want some prayer. The number, I want you to get your pen and your paper, so I want you to be ready. You got to be ready. Hallelujah. That call-in number for tonight is 516-387-1736. Again, 516-387-1736. Because then there's going to be a time in the show that we will give you a chance to ask any questions that you might have. We're also going to give you a chance to, if you want some prayer. Now, without any further ado, I just want to let you know a little bit about the woman of God that's going to be speaking into your life on tonight. She's pastor, evangelist, and chaplain, Pamela R. Poston. She is originally here from Chicago, Illinois. That's where we're from. And currently a second-time resident of Las Vegas, Nevada. She's out there in the trenches Las Vegas, Sin City. She's there. She is happily married and serves in ministry with her husband, overseer and senior pastor, Walter L. Poston. They are the founders and leaders of Highways and Hedges Outreach Ministries in Las Vegas, Nevada. Their outreach ministry serves Las Vegas and Nevada surrounding areas. They go out into the prisons, y'all. the jails and transitional centers, as well as the main streets. And I remember asking her once, I said, you be on the strip? Yeah, they be on the strip too. They have the boldness of the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of them. And Pastor Pamela has led hundreds of souls to Jesus Christ through her testimony, her preaching, and her teaching. Come on now. That's what it's all about, of his saving. Who saved? Jesus Christ. His healing and his delivering power out of a lifestyle of adultery, crime, fear, fornication, homosexuality, pornography, and the list can just go on and on and on. But God. But God, you are. So the reason for this show on tonight is for someone, we don't even care, but just one person will be set free and delivered on tonight. Because we're going to snatch them up out of the hellfires and bring them into Jesus. See, a lot of people need to understand the reasons why they're doing the things that they do. Some of them go back to the, you know, and the Bible talks about going back to the vomit. But they go back because they don't have no understanding. They don't have no revelation. But on tonight, you got the woman of God that's going to bring it forth in Jesus' name. So without any further ado, Pastor, would you introduce this awesome woman of God to us?
Amen. Thank you so much, Evangelist Kim. I just want to say my wife is an awesome woman of God. It is indeed a blessing to be married to her. What people see in public, I see at home every day. Her life is consistent. She's not only doing living for God in public, but she loves God in private. She loves God more than she loves her husband. And that indeed is a blessing within itself. But I have seen her work in ministry within the 5 years or 7 years that we have been working together in ministry. I've seen countless of souls get delivered through her testimony. And I've seen both men and women confess that they have struggles because she is so transparent that she gives her testimony and it opens up the door for deliverance. So I want to say on tonight, if there's anybody online that's listening that can hear my voice, this is your opportunity to get your questions answered. This is your opportunity for deliverance because my wife certainly has the word for tonight. Thank you.
Amen, 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 amen. Pastor Pamela, I'm gonna ask you a couple of questions, and then you know what? I'm going to let you just go forth and let the Lord just lead you, and then what we're going to do, we're going to actually ask, I see there are some callers on the line, we'll ask some questions, but I just feel as though the Holy Spirit is leading you to bring forth a word. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions. You know, the book, and I thank God for your book. I thank God that you sent me the book, hallelujah. The book is called Answers to Relational Healing. It's including your testimony and teaching of freedom from homosexuality. Come on now. Don't tell me whom the Son set free. You're free indeed. And this woman of God got the testimony. So I want to start off with you giving us some, a few stories about the relation. Let me see. And rescued by repentance from a love triangle. So I'm going to give it to you, and then I'll ask you another question. But you're welcome to have your way on tonight.
Amen. Praise God. This is indeed a privilege. Thank you very much, Evangelist Kim Henderson. I am honored, and I am humbly grateful for this opportunity to speak into the lives of God's people and to your listening audience. I would begin to say that rescued from the repentance, rescued from my testimony, rescued from what the enemy thought that he would do in my life, God said no. And so I just know that God is, he's faithful. He's faithful and he's just. So rescued from repentance from a love triangle is my testimony out of the lifestyle of homosexuality. What I would like to first quote is a there's a music group that's called the Prestigial Quartet, and they sing this song that says, sin would take you further than you want to go. It would keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will make you pay a price you can't pay. And I love that the quote in that song, because sin would take you further. It took me so low that I was just pretty much out of my mind, out of control with my flesh, and sin had me so bound with so many times almost committing suicide, and then female partners almost committing suicide out of just the enemy having our minds so bound. It would take you further than you want to go. I went places that I shouldn't have went, mentally, physically, emotionally, and definitely spiritually. It would keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'd make you pay a price you can't pay. And none of us can pay the price for the sins we live in. We all have a story. We all have a background. We all have something we can tell some dying man, woman, boy and girl that Jesus is Lord. If he's the Lord of your life, you can tell them something, because it will make you pay a price. The price that Jesus paid for me, if he died just for me, he would have still paid a horrible death. And I just allow sin to take rule over me, over my mind, over my flesh, over my life, my lifestyle, my sexuality. It took me into pornography. It took me into strip clubs. It took me into just all manner of evil, wicked things. And it tells in detail of my testimony in the book. I just can't even go into it all. So the rescue from repentance is God rescued me. I first had to repent, and then he came. He came where I was, and he rescued me, because I had to humble myself before him. And we all have to go the same route. We have to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God so he can rescue us all, because the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy our lives. He is after our souls. He really don't care nothing about your house and your car and your job. Those are just tangible things that he can use as tools. He's not really after that. He's after our souls. He lost his place in heaven. He was kicked out and took a third of the angels in heaven with him. So that's how powerful he is. Don't ever think the devil ain't powerful. God said he is the prince of this air. So of this earth. So know that he has power, but he has no other power that won't keep you from God. If you repent, if you come to him, that's what God can do. So my sins led me to crime, to incarceration, to psychiatric evaluations, on the run from the law, just all kind of just ill manner of sins. And so I just know the devil just take you so far that you would turn around and say, how in the world did I get here? I had this, I had that, and married to a millionaire and having everything at my fingertips, and didn't want for nothing to write checks and fly to Europe if I wanted to for lunchtime. I mean, I wanted for nothing, drop top BMW off the showroom floor and furs and diamonds and rubies. And just because you have all those tangible things, it don't fill the void that God wants in your soul. We all have that void we're trying to fill. And some people fill it up, they sex it up, they smoke it up, they drink it up, they party it up. But trying to fill that void would never do it without Jesus. We're a three-part person, and the third part of us is our spirit, and that part worships God in spirit and in truth. So with this body, we have to surrender. Mm-hmm. So our soul can worship God, so our spirit can worship God, so our soul can go and live with him in eternity. But if you don't feel that spirit man and that soul man, that body will be lost. So I just know that God is a healer. He'll set the captives free. I love the name of your show because it's talking about setting the captives free. So I just know that God will do it if you want him to do it, because he did it for me. And so I can't say enough about his goodness, his mercy, his love, and his kindness, and how God, the word of the Lord tonight is, our God is an awesome God.
Yes.
God is an awesome God. I don't care what you're going through, how low you've gone, how low you've gone, how low you think you may be in debt, whatever it is, our God is an awesome God. I know he can set you free. I know our God is an awesome God. So just the crime I committed and indulging in the sins, I know that if God brought me out, he is not a God of respect a person. If he done it for me, he'll do it for you. So I'm just here to say, just trust God and see the awesome God he'll be in your life as well.
Amen. Amen. You know what, Pastor, I tell you, it's so many questions that are going through my mind that I want to ask. I'm going to try and stay on my the paperwork that I have before me, but I have so many questions, and I'm pretty sure even the questions that I have to ask the people that are in the audience, they have the same questions. One of them, I just got to ask you this. There are people out there that feel as though, and there's so much going on. I'm talking on the subject of homosexuality because there's so many people out there now, they feel like they were born that way, or we got something new coming. What is this? Bruce Jenner, the man wants to be a woman. I know it's the trick of the enemy, deception that comes to the people. And when you had to deal with that type of lifestyle, was it hard? Did you, or once you decided, let me surrender, it became something that was easy once you in a sin, because sin grips you. You know, the enemy, he's like that, you know how they have the race dogs and they go after that rabbit and they keep trying to catch it, but they never can. Is it something that the reason people want to commit suicide is because they feel like they're hopeless?
That suicide demon comes with the mission of Satan: kill, steal, and destroy. The reason why people, and I try suicide, I can't even count the times, but the suicide demon comes because it infiltrates your mind and it seduces you and lures you into the demonic realms that tell you there's no way out. And it also tricks you to tell you that, well, if I do this, then they'll see that I meant business or I was serious and that I can do it my way. And see, that's what the thing is. If you do it your way, then you get your results. But if you do it God's way, you get his results. So that suicide demon comes to tell you that there's no way out. This is just your portion. And they'll understand, because once you're gone, then they'll mourn your loss and mourn your death, that, wow, they were serious, and then they'll see the effects. And that's the lie. That's the lie right now that is on the agenda of this same-sex marriage form. They're buying that lie, and then they're magnifying that lie and making it in bold print now to say that a person is born that way, and then they'll say that we have youth that are committing suicide, and we need to make things easier for them. And so the suicide demon been around so long, it is just not homosexuals that's committing suicide. That's a spirit of rebellion. That's a demonic spirit of rebellion that I do not want to obey God. I'm going to do it my way, and if I can't have it my way, then I'll end it all. And so that was my mindset. When my last attempt to try to commit suicide, I had wrote a letter to my family. I had, matter of fact, made a tape, an audio tape. My girlfriend and I had audio tape, and we were going to commit suicide together. And so the thing is, thank God that I had praying parents, and she had a praying mother. And so our parents praying for us stopped that demon. because the prayers of the righteous avail much. Her mother was a preacher, my mom was an evangelist, my dad a deacon, and they praying for us. And so the day we were going to commit suicide is because we were so rebellious and we were so lured in our sin. We wanted to show them something. Mm-hmm. We wanted to prove something to them. We wanted to prove that we were so in love with each other, and we wanted to show them that our love is going to go. We're going to take it to the end. See, the devil takes the ordinance of marriage. That's why he's doing it today. Just like that death do you part. We wanted to show them the death was going to do us part. We were going to die together. And so we rented a storage bin, and the drive-up kind, one you drive in and let the door down and you lock it. We had rented one of those, and we were going to we had clothes with us, and we were going to barricade ourselves in there, turn on the car, and my BMW, turn on the car and just die together, because we had all this information. We had bought sleeping pills and all that. And so the devil had that day all set up. And so right at the very time we were going to do it, she jumped out. And so she was like, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. And so she was due at work because she was a manager at her job. And she was like, I'm having a meeting with my staff, and let me go and do this meeting. And so she went to, she's like, well, take me to work, and I can't do it. So I'm like, fine, I'll take you to work, but I'm going back. And I went back to that storage unit, and I sat there. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to prove to my parents that this is real love. I'm going to prove to everybody. They're going to read my notice. They're going to write books about me. I'm going to probably make a TV movie out about me. I mean, I just knew that my thing was all together. And right before I did that, her job was miles away. She had ran from work all the way back because we had one car. She had ran all the way back to that storage unit and begged and pleaded me, please don't do it. Please don't do it. You know, I can't let you do it. Let's do it next week, or some lies she told me or whatever. And so she said, well, take me back to work and let's do it next week. I promise I'll do it another time. And when I went back to work, she had a policeman to meet me at her job. And that policeman set me down, and he talked to me, and the guy said, be aware how you entertain strangers, because it could be an angel unaware. And to today, I believe that policeman was an angel unaware, because he could have locked me up. He could have turned me in, but he sat with me a good hour or so and just talked me through it and gave me scenarios and gave me all he can give me and told me he should have turned me in, he should lock me up, he should put my name in the system. He said, but I don't want to put you in the system because this is going to stop you from getting government jobs and all these things, and your name will be labeled, and you know, you'll have a red flag. He said, but I don't want to do that, and he talked me out of it, and I thank God for whoever that policeman was, because today I am a living testimony that God can set the captives free. And so born that way, we all born and shaped in iniquity. That's another lie from the pit of hell. Yes. Every single one of us, from the priest to the archbishop, is born in sin and iniquity. We just choose the sin we want to live in.
My God. And you know what, I was reading the books, and you have so many painful topics in the book about abuse, molestation, rape, abortion, forgiveness. You know, and you notice in the world that we live in today, and so many people need to hear about those topics and need to know how they can be set free. All of it sounds like, even when you were talking and telling us your testimony, it all sounds like a selfish thing. What about me? It's all about me. It's all about me. So why so many painful topics in this book?
Because there's so many painful people in this world that need truth. We have so many lies before us. I mean, the media is telling lies. The newspaper is telling lies. The news is telling lies. And it's a shame that people turn on the news and believe every single story they hear, but yet don't want to believe the truth of the Bible in so many translations. I mean, the Bible is in so many translations, and there are so many lies out there that's the reason why I deal with so many hurting topics, because there's so many hurting people. And the book is not about homosexuality. It's just the subtopic is talking about homosexuality. The book is talking about relational healing. Matter of fact, out of the whole 78 questions and answers that I have out of the book, Less than a third is talking about homosexuality. The rest is talking about relational healing. It's because those hurting topics that you just mentioned, that's the bulk of hurting people out there. And people are living in silent horrors, silent terrors, going to bed, sleep, crying on their pillows. Pastors can't even talk about when they've been raped or molested as children. And they go to church and they share it, and then they hear about it over the pulpit. Or the pastor say, just like Kirk Franklin came forth and told his pastor he was dealing with lust and molest, pornography and masturbation. And his pastor, oh, it's going to be okay. You're just going through. We're going to pray for you. No, he had a stronghold that he needed some deliverance, and that's why the Lord gave me this book. Matter of fact, my husband talked to the gentleman today. His wife, matter of fact, passed away probably about a year or two ago, an evangelist in Chicago, and evangelist Edmund told me over 10 years ago, start journaling, because God want to write books through you, and he want you to share some things for people. And I said, well, I'm not smart enough that God could write books through me, but I obeyed. And I started writing books.
Yes.
And out of those 10 years of writing journals, I have journals after journals after journals of writing. And out of those journals came this first book, because people are hurting. Yes, we minister to a lot of people in the penal system, but I minister to a lot of people out there on those streets. And people are hurting, and they have questions. And because we live in this quick technology, microwave world, people don't have time to minister and really help people and take out time with people and mentor and disciple people. So this book really is about discipling those as hurting with that undercover pain that nobody want to deal with, nobody want to talk about their molestation, their hurt, their pain, the pornography they're dealing with, and all the sexual sins that they, you know, dealing with that the church don't even want to talk about. So
and you know what, Pastor? They don't know. You know what? They don't know how to deal with people like that. Because you know what? It is, like you said, it's not a one-time fix. What do you do with the person who comes up to you and they say, I'm having a problem, I want to commit suicide? You pray with them, then you leave them alone. You haven't done anything with them.
That's true.
Because they don't have the mindset to continue. So what is it that we do with these people that are out there on the street and they're coming up to you and they're saying things like, I want to be off drugs. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. The church really has no clue, because we get back in our four walls or our friends, and we don't even care too much about it. Just like what's going over in those third world countries, people are getting their heads cut off for the gospel, and we really don't have a clue on what do you do when the person you out there street witnessing, and the person, and I'm pretty sure you get some people to come to you like Nicodemus. They come to you on the side, knocking around, like, because they don't want nobody to know that they came to you. So it sounds like to me, we're not going to reach everybody, but the ones that we reach, it sounds like you're telling me that we need to disciple them also.
Yes, and this book is, and that's why it's one-on-one. It's the introduction to, let's talk about this. I mean, in the back of the book, it shows people how to get in touch with our ministry. I mean, we're an outreach ministry. My husband pastored years behind the four wall in Illinois with one of the biggest Christian organizations that in the African-American community that you can be ordained in. He pastored behind the four walls, but God brought him from behind those four walls, brought us together, and sent us into the trenches. And we are church on the move. We do what Jesus did. We do exactly what Jesus went out to the people. He did not stay in the synagogue. He did not stay behind the pulpit. Jesus preached a message, and he was gone. Most of Jesus' ministry, you're going to see him in the streets. You're going to see him in the streets with the people. And that's why I wrote this book. It's not for fame, fortune, none of that, because I was married to a millionaire. I had some of the best things in life. I'm not looking for the fame and fortune, even though I am a child of God and he's going to give it to me. That's not what I wrote this book.
Yeah.
I wrote this book for hurting people. I wrote this book for those who want to help somebody else. We should get out of, it's all about me, my four, and no more. What about somebody else that needs to be healed and set free and delivered?
This book is for people, you know, to go out there and say, you know what, I found out at least some direction I can give you. I don't know it all. See, that's why people like Kirk Franklin's pastor, and I'm not speaking against leadership at all because I'm an ordained pastor myself.
Right.
But that's why leaders send people away with, oh, yeah, we're going to pray. Don't worry about it. God going to hear you, because they don't know what to say. They don't know how to address it.
That's it.
And so this book is for people who need some direction. You know what? This is the kind of help I know to give you. Or if I can't, God has sent you some people that's sitting on your pews, Pastor. God has sent you some people, Apostle, who's sitting on your pews that's went through some of this stuff. They can mentor these people and help support groups. And we so quick to allow the drunk, the Navy prostitute, maybe somebody been on drugs, to hear their testimonies open. And I talked about this in my book, in my testimony.
Mm-hmm.
We're so quick to open our arms in the church and welcome in the end. They tell their testimony, woo, you've been clean for 3.5 years. Woo, it's been 18 months since you used crack. But when the homosexual got up and they talked about homosexuality, then you want to hear about it. You don't hear about it, because, see, I have a cousin who was saved by the lifestyle homosexuality, and she gave her testimony in Sunday school one time. Her bishop told her, we don't get them kind of testimonies here. Her and her family left that church. Because, you know, people are hurting. This book is about hurting people. You know, I could have wrote some fluffy stuff and blessings and all this. This is how you get blessed, and this is how God will deliver you. But, no, I want to deal with some serious matters. Jesus dealt with serious matters. Serious, demon-possessed people, bipolar, demon-possessed people. You know,
he
dealt with some serious stuff. You know, people with all manner of sicknesses and diseases. It's time out for the fluffy stuff. Church, we can't do, and that's cliche, we can't do church as usual. Well, get from behind the four walls and go help somebody. Go help somebody.
You know what? I read in the book, and it blessed me. I was reading because this is such a good book, because it's like a reference book. It's a book that you want to keep at all times. You don't want to give this book away unless you're giving it to the person and not wanting it back. But I was reading on page 46 where it says, what is relational healing and relational wholeness? And I'm just going to give you a little bit, because I see where I had marked on it. But it said, in Scripture, God desires for his people to be healed and made whole, complete in him. Jesus was falsely convicted to death, but through that conviction, we are set free from the penalty of eternal separation from God. Through Jesus' punishment, he was beaten, and from those whip stripes, we are healed and made whole. This healing can include freedom from fear, habits, addiction, sickness, and disease, as well as healing in relationships with family or friend, healing in our sexuality, and so on. But then she gives scriptures on healing, and I had went to where it said wholeness, and I was reading, because I got a mark on the one that's John 5:6, but under wholeness, she's giving you, see, the word is the only thing that can set us free, and you all know yourself when you're going through something in life, and you make a decision to pick up the Bible and read the Psalms or read the Scriptures, like a peace comes on you. So the word is the thing that sets us free. And even in the book of John, it talks about whom the Son is set free is free indeed. But you got to remember, if you go up a little bit, it says only if you continue in the word of God. If you don't continue in the word of God, you're not going to stay free. But I was reading, and it said under her topic of wholeness, it says Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then I read the John 5:6. It said, when Jesus saw him lie, now listen to this, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. Some of you all are in something right now, and you've been there for a long time in that situation. Come on now. But he said unto him, will thou be made whole? Jesus asked him a question. So tonight we're asking you a question. Will thou be made whole? Are you sick and tired of the mess that you're in? Are you ready for your deliverance? Are you ready to be set free from that thing that the devil has deceived you and told you there's no hope for you?
See, Jesus came 2,000 years ago to give us that freedom, to give us life and give it to us eternally. We're going to continue, but I have a caller on the line, and I just want to see if we'll get a couple of questions out from the listening audience. So one moment. We got a caller from 662-255-7277. Caller, do you have a question, a comment, or a prayer that you want?
Yes, I was actually, I guess I was the topic. Was about like the homosexuality?
Yes. Oh, that was some of it.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
And I know a lot of people don't know that actually the homosexuality thing started in Genesis. And it started with Ham, because the Bible said that after Noah, after they came out of the ark, and it said he went to his vineyard, and he was drunk, and he went into his tent, and he was naked. And it said that Ham went in there and came out without telling his older brothers. The older brothers went in backwards with a sheet and covered their father up. But the Bible said when Noah was woken from his drunkenness, he knew what his younger son had done to him. Now, a lot of people say he went in there and laughed. No, he did more than laugh at him.
What's your name, brother?
I'm the one to tell the truth about Jesus.
Okay, tell the truth about Jesus. Okay, so you're calling with a comment then. You don't have a question. You're calling when you're giving us some revelation.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, praise God. Are you enjoying the show on tonight?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, praise God. Okay. Well, are you through? Because I mean, Pastor, do you want to comment on what he's saying?
Well, the thought that came to me is when he did that, he brought shame on his lineage. And so that's why his brothers came in backwards, because they knew and respected and honored and feared God enough to not look upon the nakedness of their father. And so when he did that, he brought shame on his own lineage. And that's why generational curses started, because when he did that, he cursed his lineage, his own bloodline. And so this is why we have to follow God. I mean, if God said that this is something that shouldn't do, you don't look upon the nakedness of your parent. You don't do that. And so that's why we have to be very careful and know the word, because if we don't know something that we didn't know, then we're bringing damnation on ourselves, damnation on our families, and it could be on our lineage. And so, I agree with the caller that this was something that should not have been done, and him looking upon his father's nakedness was definitely a generational curse that he brought upon himself.
Amen. And you know what, even if that was the case where he did have sex with his dad, I don't know. I know it was shame. People still can be set free and delivered. So, caller, we really thank you for your call. So I'm going to go to the next caller, so just hold on, and we'll continue with some more questions and let Pastor just continue to give us understanding and revelation. We really thank you for calling in tonight. We will be giving away a book and a couple of CDs. So hold on, okay? Thank you.
All righty.
Okay. I see we have another caller on the line. We have caller number. The number is 702-409-6477. Do you have a question, comment, or you want prayer from Pastor? 702-409-6477. Did you have a question, a comment, or you want prayer?
Hello.
How are you?
Yes, God bless you.
Praise God.
This is Chaplain Hudson and Shalia Griffiths from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Amen.
Well, praise God.
And I just want to say I really enjoy your program, and I definitely want to get a copy of that book. Absolutely, amen. Also, I was calling because I wanted to continue to get prayer for my husband, who just, I brought him home from the hospital on last night. He's been in the hospital for 6 weeks. And I know that the postings are praying people, and God truly hears their prayers. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Okay, well, we're going to have Pastor pray for you. I don't know if you want the senior or Pastor Pamela. You all can figure that one out, but you definitely will. We will give prayer for your husband because that is very important. So, Pastor, you want to pray?
I'd like overseer to pray. Amen. Go ahead.
Okay.
Eternal God, we thank you for Elder Griffith and Chaplain Shalia. Oh, God, we thank you, oh, God, for your miracle working power in the name of Jesus.
You.
By your stripes, we are healed. We speak healing
yes.
right now in his body. We thank you for your awesome power that you have already displayed, and we glorify your name for it. In the name of Jesus, by your stripes,
yes.
he is healed.
Hallelujah.
We speak it.
Yes.
We declare it.
Hallelujah.
We stand up on the promises of God. It is so according to the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. What a
amen, amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen, and we thank you. Continue listening because we're going to ask some more questions. And I just think this is an awesome show because there's so many people out there that you have some people that are listening that they don't have, they have questions, but they don't feel comfortable calling in and ask them. So we ask the questions, and hopefully that, well, we believe, because I believe the word of God, that his word is not going to return void. So we believe, God, that people are getting revelation and they're getting free. I just want to touch on a subject with you on marriages. We have more Christian marriages that are getting divorced than it is the people of the world. And my take on that is that I believe marriages can work, but it's warfare. You have to fight for your marriage, and a lot of people are not willing to get into warfare for their marriages. But God's word works. So can you talk to, we got a lot of people, I think they go into marriage for the wrong thing. They think, well, if it don't work out, I'll just get a divorce. And then you start on number second, number three, number four, and you keep on going until you get the revelation and the understanding about what marriage is about, how marriage is a covenant, just like it is with me, you know, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So what advice can you give to a young lady who's dealing, she ended up getting married, and she married someone who was not, you know, an unequally yoked person can be a believer that's not believing the same way you do. And they married, and things are going haywire. What kind of advice would you give a young lady that's going through something like that? And her thing is, oh, I'm that Christian woman, and I'm sitting here, and they're having all the fun. What kind of advice would you give to a Christian young woman who's married, and I'm going through feeling lonely and just going through all kind of craziness right now?
Well, the Bible talks about the unsaved husband is saved by the lifestyle of the wife, the sanctified wife. The thing is,
mm-hmm.
sanctification is a life set aside for Christ. Sanctification is a life that we land down our life, we're picking up our cross, and we're following Jesus. And so if we're going to follow him, we got to follow him all the way. If you didn't have your fun before you came to him, then, yeah, you can have some fun on this side, but this is warfare. I mean, we're fighting a war, especially in these last and evil days. So I hope you had fun when you was out there, because on this side of Christ, yes, we do still have fun in Jesus, but it's not all about the fun. You got to quit looking at the world. See, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And so if you're looking at other people saying, oh, they're having all the fun and I'm not, then you're lusting after the world. And that to me is spiritual fornication, because you're lusting after the world, which is against God. And so your mind is spiritually fornicating for something that you shouldn't even be wanting part of. And so your focus now, if you're married, is to win that husband. And so
I know that you can do it because I had to live it. I mean, in the book, it talks my testimony that the husband I was married to was an unsaved man. And so after we went through several things and we ended up getting married three times over, that third marriage I was saved in. And so by me being saved, I now had to die. I had to nail all my stuff to the cross and say, you know what, I'm going to follow the Lord. And just like my quote said earlier, if I do it my way, I'm going to get my results. See, that's one thing God had to teach me. I'm going to get my results. But if I do it his way, I'm going to get his results. So I have to lay me down, pick up my cross, follow him, get some help if I need it. You know, go to some of those old mothers. You see, that's the church has gotten away from people getting to the older people. See, we learn by those seasoned saints. And so quit trying to be with your girlfriend. See, I lost so many friends, I can't even count. I can't even count the friends I lost. I mean, it looked like every week I was losing somebody that I loved dearly. And they were saved too. But you know what? My life was more important to me to get my husband saved than hang out with my friends and go to this and go to that. And I had to pray for him. I had to oil. I was oiling down cigarettes. I was oiling his head when he slept. I was oiling his shoes. Wow. I was oiling his food. I was laying hands on him. I would rub his back and be and praying for him and rubbing that oil in him and tell him, you know what, honey, let me give you a back rub. But I was rubbing Jesus in him and praying on him, laying hands on him. Let me just brush your hair. And I'm brushing oil in his head. And I'm telling you, it took years. Wow. It wasn't easy. Oh, no, it wasn't easy. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It wasn't easy. But he made it right because I knew that the end result would be his soul. And so God had to teach me how to be a wife. He had to teach me. And so I had to get older women in the church to mentor me. My mom mentored me, looking at the older women. What made you last these 40 years or 20-something years? Yeah, it wasn't easy for them either, but they shared some things with me that I could take to the bank because it worked. It worked because I led my first husband to the Lord before he died. I won that soul for Jesus. It's a long, suffering. I'm not talking about months. I'm talking about years. I had to long suffer. When he took sick, I had to push him in wheelchairs and bathe him and clip his nails and feed him and just do all I needed to do so I can be the wife that God called me to be. Because my track record with him was pretty bad. So I had to live a sanctified life before him and win his soul to the Lord before he died. So I want to encourage any sister or any brother who have an unsaved spouse, you can do it. God's word said your life, the unsaved life, can be sanctified by your life. Let your walk. Let your light so shine right there at home. Your first ministry is at home. Your first pulpit is your husband, wife, or your children. That's your first pulpit. If you, how can a bishop oversee a church and his house is tore up? No, your first ministry is at home. And so let God use you in ministry, because marriage is ministry. Let God use you in ministry in your marriage. And don't take marriage for granted. Don't take marriage for granted. Love on each other. Have date nights. If you have kids, do things that's going to spice up your marriage. You know, sometimes when, you know, people have small kids, it's all about the kids and going to soccer games and all that type of stuff. When the kids go to bed, I used to see my parents. I used to see them. It was eight of us. And then they took in my cousins. So about 10 of us sometime in the house. But we used to see my parents get up at 3 and 4 in the morning, and they would go in the kitchen, and we knew not to get. We went to the bathroom, don't go in the kitchen, because they were sitting there having their time together, maybe eating some crackers and cheese or something together, talking at the table. Wow. They took out time with 10 kids sometime in the house. At 3 and 4 in the morning, they would get in that kitchen, and they would date one another. I remember hearing my mother saying some of her best times was them going to White Castle and Burger King, you know, at Valentine's Day, because they didn't have a lot of money because there were so many of us. You got to make it work, and you got to put the work in it. But, and trust me, whatever you put work in, you're going to get some return.
But, Pastor, you don't understand. I have a man that doesn't communicate with me. I have a man that's not helping me with the bill. You don't understand how lonely it is. You don't understand that this guy does not do anything with me. You don't understand.
Jesus says some of these things only come out but by prayer and fasting. If your prayers ain't moving nothing, push that plate back. Push the plate back. Some of these things. And so if he's not doing nothing, he's not working, he ain't paying the bills, he's, you know, taking his money on the weekends, and maybe you don't see him till the next day, and he's not being hooked, push your plate back. That's your ministry. When you signed up for marriage, that's your ministry. Push your plate back. Push your plate. I mean, I used to fast so much, my parents used to beg me to eat. Please eat. I was so skinny, I looked like a crackhead sometimes. Because I was fast so much.
Sure.
Some of these things only come out but by prayer and fasting. I had to fast and make sure that my house was saved, my home was sanctified. And so it takes work. It takes work. The devil's at work. We gotta be at work too.
And you know what? For that young person that's going through with that marriage, God will and he can, but he needs you to be obedient to him. See, you need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows about each and every last one of us, and he knows what it takes and what it needs. I'm also a woman of God who married a man, but before my husband left here, he was saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. My husband contracted AIDS, and I dealt with that, but I took care of him at the end. We had hospice care. I believed God for that man. That man came in because I was able to give him unconditional love. But he came in, and before he left up out of here, he was saved. Yes, he was. Yes,
hallelujah.
There was times when it was like you wanted to give up, you wanted to cave in. But God told me, he said, love covers a multitude of sin. Come on now.
Amen.
You cannot
Amen.
Get away from the word of God. God will set
Thank
free.
You.
God will deliver. And me, Kim Henderson, didn't catch it at all. That's the kind of God I serve. Come on now. Because you say, I'm going to use you for a
Amen.
Testimony to let them know that I can do any and everything. I'm a living example. Come on now. So you can
Bless
make
God.
It, but you got to make up your mind. You cannot continue to try and, you know how people, well, he doing this, so I'm going to do that. I used to be like, I'm this old saved woman. I got all these keys, and I can't do nothing. I can't go nowhere. The devil is a lie. The devil is lying to you. The devil is deceiving you. Like Pastor said, it's your ministry. Get up off of yourself and learn to trust God, because he'll turn it around.
She's a living witness.
I'm a living witness. Come on now. God is a powerful and awesome God, and he's the only one who can change lives. And sometimes we need to shut our mouths. We talk too much. And you know what else? You need to stop listening to the world. And another thing, women that are married, let them single friends go. If they're not the kind of single friends that say, when your husband come on, I got to get off the phone. If they're not encouraging you to stay in your marriage, kick them to the curb.
Amen.
You can't be like them. You can't be like the world, the world's woman, the world's wife, because it ain't happening. So that's why I advise you. But you know what? We got another caller. Let's just see what this caller wants to say. Hey, call us. You at 702-530-5853. You got a question, comment, or a prayer that you want. 702-530-5853. You're on the air.
God bless you. This is
Hello.
Dr. Paula from Las Vegas.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Dr. Paula,
right.
Yes, I can.
From Las Vegas, Nevada. I have a comment. My comment is that the works that we do should speak for us, and I would like to make it a matter of record that I know the postmans, and I've had the privilege of working with them both on a secular job and seeing their lifestyle as a married couple, as ministers, and as co-workers. And I know that the stand that others may not realize that she took in order to publish this book, in order to be very transparent. I celebrate that in her. That's my comment. In a time like this,
Amen.
When you begin to study things And we really see that we're truly in the end times. It's like, I'm like Paul. It's like, oh, they've been saying this a long time. Well, it's even closer now. So the bottom line being is we begin to study the Shemitah and the harbinger and the things that are happening biblically, it is so obvious because people are doing what they always did, giving in marriage, enjoying themselves as in the day of Noah. But it takes someone like Pastor Poston that is willing to speak out and spare not. It takes a couple that are willing to co-labor together and show people that people of God, as a man and a woman, can come together and do the work of God because of the power in marriage, because it is a covenant, the power in their prayer life, the power in their service, and that they can encourage and exalt one another. Because when you're married, your marriage is your first ministry. So I thank God for them. If anyone ever gets to meet Pastor Poston, please don't ask her to hold you accountable because she will do that and above. She has a spirit of holy, loving nagging. But I really praise God that she was bold enough to put the book out there, because a lot of people think when they dabble in homosexuality or they dabble in pornography that it has no residual repercussions. But it does, because when you're going through some trials and tribulations, that enemy of your past, unless you're walking in deliverance, will come and tap you on the shoulder and say, you know what, you might want to try that again. Even in drug addiction, I'll tell you that. You know, you always go back to your first love. And if we're not seeking God and spending time before Him, the author, the finisher of our faith, we're going to fall. And as a minister, we need to have somewhere we can turn to. As leaders, we need to have somewhere we can go. So I would encourage everyone that's listening, if you don't know how to get through to God when you're weak and you don't have a cohort or a leader that you're comfortable to go to, I would encourage, get the book, reach out to the posters, because they're very much into confidentiality. They're very much into being transparent. But above all, they're going to hold you accountable and keep it all real. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Doctor. Hallelujah. You all can order the book. You can have your own copy of Answers to Relational Healing 101. You can go to www.emma.amazon.com. And you also take this number down. This is Pastor Poston's number in Las Vegas. You can call her from wherever in the United States or wherever you're at. That number is 702-449-5855 or 702-449-4580. Again, the number is 702-449-5855 or 702-449-4580. And the web, this is her website, www.highways4, J as in Jesus, C as in Christ, .com. We're going to give a book away, and that next caller, if you call in at 516-387-1736, she's going to give a book. It's already signed by the awesome woman of God. That number again is 516-387-1736. The next listener that calls in, that book will be yours. Pastor, would you give a call to salvation? I believe there are some people out there that need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This is the senior pastor, Walter L. Poston. Would you give that call to salvation?
Amen. Briefly, before I do that, I'm going to have my wife read a few scriptures that will validate the plan of salvation.
In the book of 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the confession of our sins, it's unto God. When my husband gives this call, you're not confessing unto us, because you don't have to confess to man, because we have all sinned and fell short of the glory of God. When the Bible talks about us confessing one to another, that's so we can be healed. So this confession is unto God. So confess your sin unto God. He's faithful. He's just. He wants you to confess unto him so you could be set free of your sins. Romans 9:10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. With your heart you believe it, but with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is why we confess with our mouths out loud. We let the devil know. We let those around us know. We're making that confession unto God. We're believing it in our heart, because it's our confession that is getting to God's heart. It's our confession that's going to wipe those sins away. Yes, my parents were sanctified, but they couldn't go. They can't go to God for me. They couldn't. They can't save me. They're gone. And so that's why each and every one of us have to come to God for ourselves, confess sins unto God. So John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So what name should you believe? The name of Jesus. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. So the word of God is letting us know that we need to confess unto him and repent. What is repentance? Acts 3:19 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." So your repentance is turning away. Doing the 180, turning away, not a 360, because you're turning back around where you started. Do a 180, turn away from your sins, and you go and follow Jesus. You nail those things to the cross where he was shed his blood on Calvary's cross. You give it to him. That's delivering. Delivering it, it ain't mine no more. I'm giving it to you, Lord. Whatever it is, it's hurt, it's pain, it's my rape. It was my molestation that hurt me and kept me bound. It was the alcohol. It was the drugs. Nail that stuff to the cross. Deliver it to Jesus. Don't hold on to that stuff no more. That's your deliverance. And him setting you free is he taking it from you. You repent, he take it from you. Now that you've given it to him, now you set free. Now go ahead and live your life abundantly. Live for him, because he wants to bless you. He wants to show himself mighty and great in you. So know that God loves you. He wants your heart. He wants you to live for him and just say this prayer of repentance and get into a Holy Ghost-filled church so you can get the discipleship that you need. Overseer.
Amen. Thank God for the reading of the word. Now, if there are anybody that's listening to the sound of my voice, it don't matter where you are in the United States or abroad, if you can confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the scriptures declare that you shall be saved. Now, repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the plan of salvation. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ. Sanctify me unto yourself. Forgive me of my sins and help me to receive you into my life. Repeat after me, Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and you rose for my justification. And in you I am saved, healed, and delivered. I am set free by the power of your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. The word of the Lord says, when one person comes to the Lord, the angels in heaven are rejoicing. Amen. And we'd like for you to, you can call that number if you want more. If you want more information about what you did today, you call 702-449-5855 or 702-449-4580, or you can go to kimhenderson.org, shoot me an email. I'll send you out something or a little booklet on what you did tonight. But we're there for you. You're not alone. We want you to know that God loves you, and this is your day. I see that there is a caller has called, and I did say if we had another caller and Pastor Pamela can decide whether or not she wants to give the autograph book or the CD to this caller. Caller, let me see. Caller, you're 312-912-3556. You are the one that is going to win the giveaway. But do you have a question, a comment, or you want prayer on tonight? What is your name?
Good evening. My name is Sister Lolita, and I'm trying to stop laughing because I wasn't expecting to be the caller to win the book. I wanted to make a comment to the postmans, and I wanted to say much success, and I'm enjoying the show. And I want you guys to keep praying for this world that's turning inside out, because warfare is in the land, and there are so many spirits and demons walking in the land, and people accepting them because they don't know what the difference is between their will and the will of the devil out there. So I just wanted to commend you both. Pardon me?
She said she wanted to commend you for the outreach. She wanted to commend you for the outreach, I mean, for your coming on tonight. What I'm going to do, Pastor Pamela, how do you want to get her to get in touch with you? Do you need her to call the number, or how will she be able to get in touch with you for the book?
What I want to do is for the callers, everyone who called in, the book will go to this caller. And for all of the callers who called in, for the first two emails that I get will be the winners of our testimonial CDs. So go to our website and send us an email from that website. You'll see our website information. You can put your information in there. And when I get your information, then I will send out your CDs. So the first two emails that we get from the website will win the CDs. But I am so humbly grateful because Evangelist Kim did not know that this is my oldest sister that's calling in, Sister Lolita, who won.
That's why I was laughing. This is your oldest sister, Sister Lolita, so either you're going to give the book. You have the book? Sister Lolita.
I don't think
you
have her copy yet.
Oh.
You'll have it now.
And by the way, callers, this was not set up this way. I just happened to automatically redial the number.
Amen. God
well,
knew
praise.
That.
Well, praise
He knew who He wanted to have it. So, amen.
Amen.
So,
amen.
I commend you as well, Sister Lolita, for your comment. This is a sensic world. Matter of fact, that is one of the questions in the book that is explained what is sensic. And so, some of that answer is this sensic world is we've fallen so short of God's glory, and we've fallen so out of order with God that sin, first of all, is against God. And so when we're against God, we're already out of order. And then the sickness part of it is when Eve ate the fruit, she was out of order to even eat the fruit. But then when she gave that fruit to her husband to eat thereof, and then when he disobeyed God, because he's the one who got the order, he disobeyed God, then they fell into sin. And so we first see evil coming into the Bible when it talks about Eve. And so evil, if you look at Eve's name, Eve, and then ill, that ill, I-L, is sickness. So evil, we see evil working through Eve because she was our foretold mother. And so she's the mother of this earth. And so she fell into an evil state because she became sick. And she became ill. Now, I don't explain all that in the book, but I'm just giving you a little extra revelation that's why we're in the world that we're in. And so I commend you for your comment and saying we do need to pray for this world because we are in a sin-sick state.
Yeah, because I believe what's going on now is that I've run across a lot of Christians that I'm not judging, but when I moved back here from Vegas years ago, I was working in a lot of places where they were Christian, but they weren't, and I didn't find that out until I gave my life to Christ. But anyway, I just want to also say that even in what's going on in the world, there are a lot of people that are paying tithes to churches, but they're not living what they should be living, and they're calling themselves Christian. And a lot of what I've learned in the last year is there are a lot of spirits that are attaching themselves to people. And I just passed someone tonight, said I was going to pray for him. He was working his hips, all three of them, walking down the street. You know, so, you know, there's a lot going on out there, unfortunately, in the homosexual world, because a lot of it is going on because people are afraid, and they use that sometimes as a front to protect themselves from being abused. So they turn to what they feel is the stronger looking image of the sex, which is the male. Mm-hmm. So there's just so much confusion. Oh, yeah, I live in the inner city, so I see quite a lot. But anyway, I'm not going to hold up your line because I'm sure there's other callers that may need prayer or something like that. But Pastor Poston, both of you, I wish you well, and I'm enjoying the show, and I'm going to end this call. Because I've been doing so much shouting, I'm losing my voice. You're quite welcome.
We thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
We thank you. You know what, Pastor, I have a question because this is one of the questions I wanted to ask you. So many people that are living in the homosexual lifestyle, people who are trying to witness to them, they come with so much condemnation that the people turn a deaf ear to them. How do you witness to a homosexual person?
Well, in my short version answer, I would say you witness to a homosexual just like you will witness to anybody else. That's just my short version, but I'm gonna give you just a little meat to go with that, those potatoes. sin is sin before God. We categorize sin here in this physical world because pretty much the laws and crimes, you know, you got to categorize things and you got to put it on different levels. But God look at all sins as the same. A liar needs to be loved on and witnessed to just like a murderer or a pedophile or a homosexual. It's all sin. I mean, you cheat on your taxes, you're sinning, you lie, you know, to your spouse or whatever, you're sinning. So sin is sin. Fornication, adultery, the list can go on. But people want to categorize sin one bigger than the other. You witness to a homosexual. We were just in a transformation conference from a pastor and his lovely wife from California 2 weeks ago, and we had people there, and several people. When the floor was open, I was part of the panel discussion there, and that is a good question because a lot of people want to know how I witness to people on my job. I know he's gay. I know she's struggling. I know this. You witness to them just like you witness to anybody else. We all have to come to Jesus for repentance, for cleansing of our sins. Your best witness is your lifestyle. Your best sermon you can preach is wordless. You don't have to say a word. Just live it. And when they see your lifestyle, then they'll see something different. It's just like Nicodemus. I call him Nick at Night. That's why he came to Jesus at night. He came to him because he wanted some truth. And when all the Pharisees and Sadducees and everybody in the streets and they trying to come against Jesus, he knew it was something about Jesus. That's why he came to him at night. He snuck in there and asked some questions about, you know, salvation and all that. Trust me, God got a time for everybody that's going to need him. That's when grace meets mercy. When they at the mercy of God, that's when his grace can meet them. Mama going to die. Mama going to get sick. Something's going to happen in their life. They're going to need somebody that they can be a nick at night for, and they can come to you in the bathroom or something and slip you a note. Can I talk to you or whatever? You never know how your light could shine for that very person that you're trying to reach. And so if it's somebody that is on a job or in the community, yes, pray for them, but live holy. Live holy. Let them know they love. A lot of homosexual people feel like they're not loved. That's why it's so strong now. That's why the laws are fighting so much for discrimination because in that lifestyle they feel so discriminatory. It was just always discriminatory. And so they're looking for love. They're looking for love in the wrong places, but they're looking for people to love on them and not judge them no higher than anyone else. Like I talked earlier,
that's
the church will welcome a drunk or drug addict, But when it comes to somebody, burning their flesh with sex, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. You know, sit down and shut up. Take a seat and don't talk about it. But we need to let people be people and love on them. Love on them like Christ. With loving kindness have I drawn thee. So that's what you do. Love on them, show them the love of Christ, and live holy.
And you know what? That is so awesome. That is such an awesome answer. I remember it was this church. I can't remember where it was or who it was, but this guy was giving the testimony how two women had came in this church. They were homosexual, but they were coming in there to really stir up the people. And, you know, if they said anything to them, they were going to sue them or whatever. But because this pastor taught so much on love, those people looked at them as like they were one of the people in the congregation. And so what drew them was the love, and what they went in there, their intention was to bring harm. They ended up getting saved because of the love that was shown to them in that church. And you said it, the number one thing is the love. And even with us, how the Father drew us with his love. And if we can get away from it, like you say, we just name, I love your answer, we just name and sin. Oh, this sin, this sin is higher than this sin. And you just said it. That was such a short answer, but it was a good answer. It's something that we can take and we can use that. And I think people tend to look at people that live in a homosexual lifestyle differently because they can see that. You don't really see the light. I mean, you just see it. You see how the spirit changes their look and all these different things. So you see that. And if we, the body of Christ, and we're going to have to do it because the Word of God said they will know us by our love. And we're going to have to walk in love. The true believers, I don't know if I even want to say Christian. Everybody's a Christian now. But the true believers, those that are walking in Christ Jesus and being disciples and doing what the Father said, those are the ones that's going to show the love, and that's what's going to draw the people. But, you know, we talk about how bad the world is, and yes, it is bad. But it's nothing but the stage for the believers. It's the stage for the believers to shine, to shine that light of Jesus Christ through us. And when we truly walk in love and that unconditional love, ooh, them people see that and they want it. They want it. They're like, where you come from? And they want it. And even in my life, I remember the Lord had me working at a Christian community health center. And through that, I used to see a lot of homosexuals, people with HIV, just the whole gamut of everything. I worked with the sex workers. I worked at the shelter. And I remember when I was dealing with the people that were the homosexual, this little haughty spirit in me or that judgmental spirit. But God showed me something through that. See, that was a training ground for me. And I ended up loving the people and unconditional. And they knew who I was. They knew I was saved. But it was a love that God had to show me for what he has down the road for me. He had to show me the unconditional love. So they knew it. They saw that love. And they gravitated. Oh, Kim, you know, they knew it. And that's what it's going to take. But he took me into that realm because he wanted to show me some unconditional love. He wanted me to see that if you're going to be in the trenches, the highways and the byways, baby, you're going to have to love them when they stink. You got to love them when they're switching and twitching. Whatever it is, you got to love them. So I thank God for you. And Pastor, you all are such an awesome example of the love of Christ. And you know what? There are rewards not only in heaven, but down here too when we do the work of the Lord and when we are obedient to the Father. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I just thank God for you all. I thank God for the show on tonight. And just so many questions were answered. And I know people are dealing with people in their families that are dealing with that spirit. It's a spirit because you ain't homosexual. This a spirit. You know, people, I'm gay. No, you're a child of God, but you just don't know it yet. And I think sometimes we forget where we came from. We get to judge people because we forget where we came from, how he done picked us up out of the muck and the miry clay.
Amen.
So you know what? I just want Senior Pastor to give us some words. You know, we got about 6 minutes left. And I just thank God for you all. You all are such a blessing and doing an awesome work. in Las Vegas, Nevada. Now you sent your sister here to Chicago. I'm going to hook up with her. We're going to have to do some street ministry out here in Chicago. I know she's listening. She's going to have to hook up with me. But for those of you all that are listening, you all will also be able to listen to Setting the Captives Free every Thursday at 9:45 p.m. on 1570 a.m. But you can go to my website, kimhenderson.org. You can also go to Facebook, the international show Setting the Captives Free. God has called me to be able to interview people who can set the captives free, people like the postings who have something to say. That's what I'm talking about. We're talking about bringing the people up out of the muck and the miry clay and not forgetting where we once came from, so we can, you know, in the book of Jude, it talks about snatching them up out of the fire. So, Pastor, with that, I want you to end us in prayer, and I also want you to tell them how they can get the book again and tell them how they can get in contact with you all. But you have some last words that we want to hear from you, Senior Pastor Poston.
Amen. I would just like to say in closing that this was a wonderful experience of seeing how God used my wife to write the book. She resigned off her job, been unemployed for about 7 months now, because it took so much time to put in the book. This wasn't just a project that she just threw something together, but it was. She did a lot of praying. She did a lot of fasting. She was consecrated before God and put questions in there that will make a difference in people's lives, that will be able to touch the lives that many of us in ministry are not touching, to touch the souls of those who have been in bondage for a long time. So what's in the book is very, very, very awesome, in that God gave her revelation. I saw God give her revelation for this book, and I am so excited about it. I'm going to let my wife have the last word concerning the book and how you can reach us or get in contact with us and get the book.
Amen. You can go to our website, www.highways4jc.com. That's www.highways, with an S, the number 4, J as in Jesus, C as in Christ, .com. At the website, if you order through our website, PayPal, you would get $5 discount. If you order through Amazon.com, you can order there as well. So you can get in touch with us there. You can email us, see about the ministry, what we're doing out here in Las Vegas. And God has just been blessing. So we bless God for all things, and we thank you for your attendance on the call. Thank the callers for calling in. I'm still tickled pink with Dr. McDonald, what she said about us. Yes, I will keep you accountable. Yes, we do live holy. Yes, we live in Sin City, but Sin City to us, God gave me that revelation. S-I-N is salvation in Nevada. So when he brought the posters here, it's salvation in Nevada. So I thank God, I'm going to keep you accountable. I'm going to keep Las Vegas accountable, because God is here just like he is everywhere else. If he saved me in this Sin City, yes, he can save anybody. So I bless God for this opportunity. Evangelist Henderson, thank you so very much. God bless you. God bless your ministry, your home, and we bless God for you. So my husband is beckoning me to do the closing prayer, so I'm going to say that real quick with this last minute. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We worship and adore you. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise and lift your holy name. We thank you, Lord God, for Evangelist Kim. We thank you for this station. Thank you, Lord God, for all you brought together, how you increased technology that we can come together as one in unity, Lord God, that through the airways, Lord God, that captives could be set free. And we bless you for it. We thank you, Lord God, for this ministry. Thank you, Father God, for this vessel that you have used, Lord God, for your glory. Lord, Send back to her, Lord God, all that she has sacrificed for this time, for such a time as this. We love you. We praise you. We lift up every household that's represented on the sound of my voice. We ask you to save, heal, deliver, set free, Lord God, and have your way in these families, Lord God. Let the crooked places be made straight and the rough places smooth. We love you. We praise you. We worship and adore you. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Again, if nobody's told you they love you, we love you. Grow strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Know that if God be for you, who can be against you? I'm going to leave you all with this song by Shekinah Glory. Yes. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Bye bye.
The Postons love you.
Would you still say yes? Will your heart and soul say yes? Will your spirit still say yes? There is more that I require. Now will your heart and soul say yes? Will your spirit still say yes? Yes. If I told